Hi guys, and welcome back to the Mystery and Comedy Old Time Radio Podcast, a Spotify original. I want to once again thank everyone who has listened and subscribed to my podcast since day one. I really do appreciate it. Please join me this afternoon as I bring to the show Miss Murray Wilson and Miss Kathy Lewis in the CBS comedy show My Friend Irma, as we continue our tribute for Women's Month with two of the best comedic actors in radio, in old-time radio performances. In this first episode, we find Irma and Jane in their apartment when all of a sudden Irma is curious about what her best girlfriend and beloved roommate, Jane, is reading. So, Jane tells Irma that she is reading an article about a compatible questionnaire for people in a relationship. So, Irma asks Jane the question. Asked Jane to give her the questions so Irma can answer them about how compatible her and her boyfriend Al are. But unfortunately for the beautiful sweet Irma, her and her boyfriend Al are not compatible very much at all. So Irma ends up calling off the relationship between her and Al, when all of a sudden her best girlfriend and neighbor Amber Lipscott comes in to show her a beautiful engagement ring that she got by joining this club. So Irma is so happy about finding a new man in her life that later on in the show she not only finds another man, but it is unfortunately her ex-boyfriend, Al. And the two end up back together again. And it is called the Lonely Hearts Club. And in this next episode, we find the two girls at different locations so they can meet up for lunch. Irma is having to work for her boss, Mr. Clyde, on Saturday. And Jane is at home, so Jane calls Irma to ask her if she's available for lunch. So Irma tells Jane that she's not going to be able to make it for lunch, but she is wondering about why Mr. Clyde won't give her a raise. So Jane tells Irma about the little things that she does for her boyfriend and employer, Richard Rylander. And so Irma tries to do the best that she can for Mr. Clyde so she can get a raise herself. But unfortunately for her, the young, sweet, but naive Irma ends up falling for one of her boyfriend's save money ideas to get the best suit for Mr. Clyde, but it ends up ruining Irma's chances of getting that promotion and that raise until the end, when Mr. Clyde comes back to the girl's apartment and gives Irma that raise. And it is called Fortune Raised. I hope you guys enjoy Miss Murray Wilson and Miss Kathy Lewis in the CBS comedy show My Friend Irma. If you like the show, please comment and subscribe, guys. And always remember to enjoy the show. Thanks.
By transcription.
Stick around, folks. Stick around. Why? Because today's the day for the great news in the My Friend Irma March of Dimes contest.
start with a riddle? Thank you. What's the difference between Irma and a donut? The village philosopher said, well, one has a hole in the middle and the other has a hole in the head.
Gee, I'm glad you brought up poetry because I have a poem about ends.
Well, let's hear it.
Tommy and Billy were two little boys and they were very good friends. One day they hocked their mother's teeth, so their father whacked both of their ends.
Well, friends, if you ask me, Irma's rhymes are literary crimes. And speaking of crimes, that's what Triple O is. Because it's so easy to stop with ENDS chlorophyll tablets. Yes, ENDS, E-N-N-D-S, stop Triple O. Stop odors of body, odors of breath, odor of fence. Stop all three, all at the same time. Keep you fresh as a daisy all day, all over. It's amazing. But one or two tiny ENDS tablets daily are all you need to stop Triple O.
And now, ENDS, America's most popular chlorophyll tablets, are proud to present your favorite comedy show, created by Cy Howard and starring Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane, in
My Friend Irma.
Paper, Jane? Reading?
Yes, honey.
What are you reading? What are you reading?
Oh, it's just an article on psychology as applied to marriage, a series of questions designed to see if a girl and the man of her choice are suited for each other.
Isn't that unusual?
Well, no, why should it be?
Well, when Al and I sit on the sofa, he never asks me any questions, and we get along fine.
Well, you know, there's more to it than that. This article approaches the problem of compatibility with scientific introspection.
Well, maybe I can learn something. Read it to me.
All right, honey. Let's see. Does the man you intend to marry keep appointments? Is he punctual?
Punctual? Why, Al is in line for his unemployment check even before the office is open.
Mark down one.
One.
Yeah, now. Is he the type of man you would ever be ashamed to be seen with?
No, because we never go anyplace.
No. Do the two of you like to participate in sports?
Well, I like swimming and tennis.
Yeah. What about Al?
Jane, is tilting pinball machines a sport?
Well, if they catch you, yeah. Do you like dancing?
Yes.
Does your boyfriend?
No.
Do you like to go to the theater?
Yes.
Does your boyfriend?
Only when he has a pass.
Oh. Well, according to this psychological test, the two of you just don't click.
Well, maybe you're right, Jane. Lately, I've been having my doubts, too.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Well, Al will be here any minute, and I'm going to give him one more chance. Either he'll change, or this is the end.
ENDS. Well, that's up to you, Irma.
Come in.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken.
Oh, hello, Al, honey.
I gotta run along, kid.
You know, wait a minute, Jane. I mean, you don't even want to hear about my new deal.
Wait.
Oh, you will love this. It's a racing form printed on a large cookie. So after a day at the track, you still got something to eat. Sounds good, huh?
Irma, I can only say if you find you have anything in common with this man, get rid of it.
Snooty dame. She ain't ever going to amount to anything.
Al, I'd like to go to the theater tonight. Will you please take me?
Chicken, why this sudden request?
Allie, it's very important for us. You see, you and I are psychopathic cases.
What are you talking about, chicken?
Well, Al, I insist you take me to the theater.
But, honey, I ain't got a pass. They got a big doorman. And to clinch it, they're painting the fire escape.
Let's pay our way in.
Hey, chicken, you are tampering with my principles.
Oh, it's no use, Al. We've nothing in common. We might as well face it. You and I need a scientific inspection.
What?
We're not combustible.
Don't you mean compatible?
What's the difference what I mean? We're just not for each other.
Sure, can you mean that?
Yes, Al. Let us just consider this whole experience as an interlude, a motel on the highway of life.
Chicken, you're nuts.
That's beside the point. This is the end. This is the end, and I think we should break clean.
Chicken, I don't know what to say. But if you think you'll find more happiness with another, here's your ring back.
Thanks, Al.
Maybe you'll change your mind someday. Goodbye, Irma. You're a swell kid. I won't ever forget you.
Oh, he's gone. Oh! He's gone.
Irma, I just passed out in the... Honey, you're crying. Well, don't feel sad, sweetie.
Oh, I can't help it, Jean. I always feel sad when I'm crying.
Now, listen to me, Irma. The worst is over. Now, you try to forget it. Believe me, it's for the best. You're really in an enviable position. You have the whole world before you, Irma. You're footloose and fancy-free.
Footloose and fancy-free?
Sure. Now, dry those tears. Come on, let's have a smile. Come on.
Okay.
Go on, now. Let me hear you laugh. All right, that's more like it. You be gay, huh? Come in.
Zombie me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Jane and Irma. My two little jigsaw puzzles. One complete, one a few pieces are missing. Excuse me, Jenny, a little joke I picked up in a toy store. What's new, Irma? What is this?
Professor, I'm footloose and fancy and it's free.
Irma. Professor, Al and Irma have parted. And she's trying to be gay.
So it finally happened.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it would someday. Now, don't feel so badly, Irma. Remember, there's an old saying, a stitch in time will save nine.
Well, how does that apply to me?
It don't. This is a slogan for tailors. But there is a very old saying that I do like. It takes a heap of living to make a home.
Well,
I think I'll go up to my home and clean out that heap so I can live in it.
Oh, Jean, I made a mistake. I'll never find another man like Al.
You made a decision, Irma. Don't be a weakling.
Well, I guess you're right, Jean. I'm just going to look around for someone else.
That's fine. Now, who can that be? Maybe it's Al. Come back. Come in.
Hello, dearie.
Oh, Violet Murphy, what a surprise. You remember my roommate, Jane?
Yeah. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Violet. I'll see you later, honey. Bye.
Gee, Irma, I rushed right over. Look.
Oh, Violet, an engagement ring.
It's 14-karat gold.
Oh, Violet, what a beautiful setting.
Next year, I get the stone.
Oh, Violet, I wish you all the happiness in the world.
Why are you crying, dearie?
Well, you're engaged, and Al and I just broke up.
Well, so what? This town is crummy with guys. Look, Irma, if you want a fella, do like I did. Write to the Lonely Hearts Group. They got stuff lying all over the place. And it's perfectly confidential. They give you a number. And if you're lucky like me, they don't ask you for a picture.
You mean I could get a number if I wrote to them?
That's right, dearie. Nobody uses a name. Now look, say you're number 12. Then the fellow might be number 34. And all mail goes right to a box, so he don't even know where you live and vice versa.
All right, Violet, I'll do anything to meet some new fellow.
You can't miss, dearie.
Oh, and wouldn't it be wonderful if my husband and I ran into Al someday and I could say, Al congratulate me. I am Mrs. 94.
Oh, here's a man with triple O. Let's listen as he asks his druggist what to do.
Can you give me really effective protection against triple O? Odors of breath, odors of body, and odor of fence? I've never found any old-fashioned deodorant that could take care of all three.
Yes, ENDS chlorophyll tablets stop all three at the same time. Stop triple O. It's the new safe and pleasant way to stay fresh as a daisy all over, all day long.
But how about these cheaper chewing gum or candy products? They contain chlorophyll, too.
But look at any of them. Nowhere does the label state how much chlorophyll it contains.
Why, you're right.
Now, look at the ENDS label. It states very clearly that ENDS contain 100 milligrams of Daratol chlorophyll, a fully effective dose. That's why only one or two tiny ENDS tablets a day stop triple O. Stop all three odor offenses all day long. But don't expect such long-lasting results from cheaper chewing gum or candy substitutes that contain so little chlorophyll. ENDS are so effective because they start acting instantly inside the body where odors begin. So for pennies a day, you get ENDS longer-lasting protection. They're pleasant-tasting, safe, too. Safe as any garden vegetable. Get ENDS. ENDS chlorophyll tablets, and be sure you stop triple O. Trial size only 49 cents at drug counters everywhere. Larger sizes even more economical. And now back to my friend Irma.
Hearts Club. I don't know why she did it, but I suppose if it was good enough for Violet Murphy, it's good enough for Irma. So already she has the number 75. She's kind of worried about her number. She's afraid if she signs her letter 75, she won't get a man under 80. So I explained that the number has no personal significance, and right now she's writing her first letter to the club. It'll be forwarded to some unknown man.
Dear to whom it may concern, I am a lonely girl. My heart is broken. I have blonde hair and brown eyes and nice legs and would like to meet a man in the same condition.
No. No, dear.
What's wrong?
You put all your eggs in that basket, but they are scrambled. Let me help you, sweetie.
All right, Jane.
Let's see. Dear sir, I am 24 years old, blonde, considered attractive, and am quite lonely. I should like very much to make the acquaintance of a gentleman who is also lonely. Now sign it.
All right, Jane. Do you think I should spray a little perfume on it? You know, the bottle Al gave me?
Irma, I have smelled that perfume. It will not only keep men away, but also mosquitoes. No, sweetie. Just mail it as it is.
All right, Jane.
Hello, girls.
Oh, Mushy, what are you doing here?
I come about Al. This letter was sticking out of your mailbox.
Oh, thanks.
You gotta take Al back.
But does he really miss me, Mushy?
Well, you wouldn't know it was the same person. He'd give a lady a seat on the bus. Seems to be out of his mind.
But it's all over.
All right, I'll tell him. But his last word was, if you didn't take him back, he's going to join that French organization where real men go to forget. You know? The Follies Begay. Well, goodbye, girls.
Irma, come on. Aren't you going to see who the letter is from?
Oh, yes. Oh, Jane, it's from the Lonely Hearts Club. Well, read it.
I'm dying of curiosity.
All right. My dear Miss 75, in answer to your letter, I too am lonely. What can we do about it? Signed, 33322. Oh, Jean, that's a wonderful number.
What do you mean, wonderful?
We'll have a big family.
I don't follow you.
Well, in poker, three threes and a pair of twos is a full house.
Oh. Now, Irma, don't go jumping to conclusions. You don't even know this man.
Oh, I'm so excited. Imagine getting an answer so quickly.
It's me again. Hello, girl. Why do you all look so happy?
Irma has a new boyfriend.
Oh, wonderful. Irma, what's his name?
33322.
I'm a convict. Listen to me. Go back to Al. At least he wasn't caught yet.
No, Professor, no. Irma's been corresponding through the Lonely Hearts Club, and everybody has a number.
Oh, congratulations, Irma. And take the advice of an old man. Find out what the man is like right away before you get involved.
Oh, I'm going to, but first of all, I'm going to find out one thing. If he has a job, you know what I just went through with my ex.
Your ex?
Yes, I want to even forget his name. Of course, my ex was very sweet to me. My ex made me happy. I love my ex, and I dream of that day I would marry my ex.
Irma, you're slipping, remember? Come on.
Oh, yes. I must be gay.
Now, honey, there's no time to waste. Answer the letter. Come on.
All right. Dear 33322.
Well, Irma has finished her letter, and I'm proofreading it for her. It says, Dear 33322, do you mind if I call you Dear 32? I feel I know you well enough to call you by your initials. I was thrilled to get your letter, and I hope you turn out the way I picture you. Of course, your writing is very small. Are you short? Have you got a job? I have. And hoping to hear the same from you, I remain affectionately 75.
Yes, sir? What can the Lonely Hearts Club do for you?
Well, my name is Al. My number is 33322. I'm corresponding with the girl numbered 75. Any mail for me?
I shall look in the box. Oh, yes. Here's a letter for you, 333-22. By the way, how are you getting along with your correspondence?
Well, frankly, the dame seems a little cracked. But I'm so anxious to get over this lump in my heart. You know, the girl I love jilted me, that I'll try anything.
Well, here you are. Good luck.
For the past 3 days, I've been hearing nothing but 33322 and 75 that's coming out of my ears. You know, if those two ever get together, I think they'll have to be married by a bookkeeper. But of course, since the letter that Irma's expecting today should contain valuable information about her new phantom boyfriend, I was just as excited as she was when she said,
Jane, the letter came.
Isn't that wonderful? Came. Come on, read it.
Oh, no, you read it to me. I'm too excited.
Okay, sit down.
Okay.
Dear 75. Thank you for your letter. I was hoping the girl I was corresponding with was a Vassar graduate, but it seems quite impossible since I noticed you spelled considered with a K. However, none of us is perfect. He spells perfect, P-E-R-F-E-K.
Well, go on, Jane, go on.
You ask me, have I got a job? Well, 75, as number to number, let me inform you that I have worked hard and steadily all my life as head of a big steel corporation. And now I am preparing to retire. How are you fixed financially? I am perfectly healthy, tall, and so handsome it's disgusting. Yours devotedly, 33322.
Well, what do you think, Jane?
I don't know. This is either a genius or a crackpot. But anybody would be an improvement over Al. I beg your pardon. Your ex.
Shall I answer him?
Well, honey, I think it's about time you met him.
All right, Jane. I'll write him to come up here.
Oh, no. Oh, no, not for two reasons. First, if you don't like him after you meet him, we don't want him hanging around here. And secondly, we want to make a good impression on him.
Well, how do I go about that?
I don't know. Wait a minute. Richard and I are having dinner at the Pavilion Club tomorrow night, and he can be our guest.
But how will he recognize me?
Well, write that you'll wear a green hat.
But what if someone else is wearing a green hat? He's liable to marry the wrong girl.
Well, tell him you'll leave your number with the head waiter, and Henri will bring him to our table.
Oh, all right, Jane. I'll sit down and write him the letter right away.
Yeah, and honey, in your letter, try to make yourself attractive. You know, show an interest in what he's doing.
Well, gee, if he's in the steel business, what can I say?
I don't know. Say that you realize that steel is the backbone of this country, and that you're fascinated by blast furnaces, and trust he finds you interesting.
I got it.
Now, what are you going to write?
It must be interesting to steal blast furnaces, and I trust you will like me because I have one of the nicest backbones in the country.
So, just invite him to dinner at the Pavilion Club. Well, we're all at a table in the Pavilion Club. Richard, myself, and number 75. We're waiting for 33322. I must say, 75 looks adorable. She's wearing a green hat, and she's taking no chances. On it is a 75. Since this dinner is costing Richard a pretty penny, I, too, am very curious to see what Irma has landed. Honey, smile. Come on now. Come on. Look happy.
I'm sorry, Jane. I was just thinking.
About Al. Now, Irma, what did you promise? That's
Irma, you say this Mr. 33322 is in the steel business?
Yes.
Well, then I must know him.
Well, I'm sure you do.
Well, it's going to be wonderful to have dinner with an old friend.
Yeah, I'll say. You know, every time we've been out together, I'd look across the table, and who would I see? Ow!
Shake it. You're wearing a green hat.
And you're wearing a carnation.
75!
Al, you're not 33322.
I sure am.
What a roundabout way to get a free meal.
Oh, Al, I'm so glad to see you.
Me too, Chicken.
Just a minute. You have your nerve working steady. A steel magnet.
I don't even know what I wrote. I didn't even know it was Irma. All I know is I was going crazy from missing her. Lots of guys turn to drink. I turned to the Lonely Hearts Club.
Oh, Al, it's all my fault in that psychological test.
Well, what's the difference, Chicken? Just wanted you to know I love you, and I always will. Now, Jane, if you want me to, I'll go.
Sit down, Al. Sit down and order.
No, thanks. I ain't hungry.
No wonder you ate half my platter while you were talking.
Irma and Jane will be back in a moment, but first...
Can't anything be done about Triple O?
Yes, here's amazing news about a scientific odor test. 8 out of 10 men and women stopped or definitely reduced Triple O.
Stopped odor of body, stopped odor of breath, stopped offending.
Executives, secretaries, clerks, even factory workers at 110 degrees heat took ENDS chlorophyll tablets. Results from hundreds and hundreds of examinations were astounding.
Working inside the body where odors begin, ENDS actually prevented unpleasing odors from forming. Stopped Triple O. Stopped all three odor offenses.
Yes, there's scientific proof that ENDS really stop Triple O. Keep you fresh as a daisy all over, all day long. You get more complete, more lasting protection against Triple O than from any old-fashioned body deodorant, toothpaste, soap, mouthwash. And ENDS are so easy to use.
Safe.
Safe as any green vegetable. Pleasant tasting. ENDS contain 100 milligrams, a fully effective dose of Daratol chlorophyll. So beware of cheaper chewing gum or candy substitutes that contain so little chlorophyll or that fail to state their chlorophyll content on the label. Insist on ENDS chlorophyll tablets. That's ENDS, E-N-N-D-S. Trial size only 49 cents. Larger sizes even more economical.
Stop Triple O with ENDS, ENDS, ENDS.
And Al are back together on the sofa, and they're as much in love as ever, and they're making gooey talk. He says,
"How is my darling, walling little 75?
Oh, just fine, my great big 33322.
If that isn't nauseating enough, Irma is now making with more numbers.
14. No, I don't like that. 32. Yes, 32 and 33.
Irma, I know Al is 33322 and you're 75. What are those other numbers?
Oh, I'm just picking out names for the children.
Can you imagine anybody offering money to employ a brain like that?
But they did, Jane, because as you know, folks, 3 weeks ago, my friend Irma, in the person of Marie Wilson, offered to work as secretary for a day to the personal firm in the United States, offering the highest bid to the March of Dimes Anti-Polio Fund. And today we're pleased to announce the name of the winner. The winning bid is $5,000, which will be contributed at once to the March of Dimes by the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Fort Worth, Texas, who want Irma, in the person of Marie Wilson, to work as secretary in the office of the Infantile Paralysis Chapter Headquarters in Fort Worth. So to the city of Fort Worth and the Coca-Cola Bottling Company, our congratulations. And watch out. My friend Irma will be heading your way this week.
Gee, Jane, isn't it exciting? I always told you that someday my brain would be worth a lot of money.
Yeah, that's right, Cookie, and I always knew that someday there'd be a price on the head of my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma is a Cy Howard production and is directed by Park Libby, who writes the script with Stanley Adams. Pat Burton is associate producer. Marie Wilson is starred as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane. The part of Al was played by John Brown. Hans Conried was heard as Professor Kropotkin. Gloria Gordon as Mrs. O'Reilly. And Alan Reed as Mr. Clyde. Clive Frederickson as Richard. Ed Max as Mushy. And Sandra Gould as Violet Murphy. Music was under the direction of Lud Gruskin.
Tired-looking eyes can ruin your appearance, make you look unattractive, dull. So don't take chances. When eyes are red, weary from lack of sleep, glare, driving, get Eye-Gene. Two soothing drops in each eye float away that tired eye feeling at once. Eye-Gene is like a prescription, contains Lexitol, acts as a tonic for the eyes. Safe, gentle, too. Get Eye-Gene, E-Y-E-G-E-N-E, tonight. Use it daily for bright, attractive eyes. Trial size only 25 cents. Larger sizes even more economical. Hygiene at drug counters everywhere. Be with us next Sunday at this time when ENDS, America's most popular chlorophyll tablets, again bring you My Friend Irma. Paul Caruso speaking.
Now stay tuned for Aramis Brooks starring Eve Arden, which follows immediately on most of these CBS stations.
My Friend Irma was transcribed. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Lever Brothers Company, makers of Swan, the soap with the exclusive super creamed blend, presents
Our Friend Swan
with My Friend Irma.
Starring Mary Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane.
Friendship, friendship, just a perfect friendship. When other friendships have been forgot, theirs will still be hot. My Friend Irma.
Irma P. Peterson is a great education. You never know what you're going to learn next. For instance, the other evening when I came home, Irma had rolled up our carpet and placed it on the bed. So, naturally, I said, "Honey, why did you put the rug on the bed?" And Irma said,
"I read that a carpet wears longer if it has a nap."
So I said, "Pleasant dreams to you both." You see, I understand Irma because she takes everything literally. For instance, someone told her a man's home is his castle. So when she and Al get married, she wants an apartment with a drawbridge. But then right now, I'm much too happy to worry about Irma's shortcomings because on this lovely Saturday morning, little Jane Stacy got herself a raise. So I'm going to celebrate by taking Irma to a matinee this afternoon. She should be at a desk in Mr. Clyde's office.
Milton J. Clyde, attorney at law, whom shall I say is speaking?
Honey. Honey, it's me. It's me, Jane.
Oh, hello, Jane.
Gee, you sound tired, sweetie. What's the matter?
I've been typing all morning. My feet are killing me.
I don't understand.
Well, you know that bell that rings when you get to the end of a line? Well, I keep thinking there's someone at the door. I've been getting up every 10 minutes.
Yeah. All right, honey, I'll take it up with the Remington people. Irma, I have good news for you. We're going to the theater this afternoon to celebrate because Richard just gave me a raise.
Oh, Jane, I'm so happy for you. Gee, I can't understand why Mr. Clyde doesn't give me a raise.
Well, honey, maybe it's because your spelling is so bad.
Oh, my spelling is getting better. Remember how I used to spell Philadelphia with an F?
Yeah, I remember.
But I know that's wrong. It's PHF.
You know, Irma, it isn't only a secretary's work that gets a girl a raise. It's learning to anticipate the boss's needs, you know, seeing that he gets the things he wants most.
Oh, but that won't get me a raise, Jane.
Why won't it?
Mr. Clyde always says what he wants most is a new secretary.
No, honey. What I mean is, well, now take the things that I do for Richard, for instance. When he hasn't got time for his personal shopping, I try to help him. I buy his cigars and handkerchiefs, and once in a while I get him a necktie. Can't you think of anything Mr. Clyde needs?
Well, I think he likes some eyeglasses because every time he talks to me, he wants to know if I'm all there.
Oh, Irma.
Miss Peterson, I'm waiting to give you dictation. Will you please get off the phone and come in?
What were you going to say, Jane?
Irma, wasn't that Mr. Clyde's voice? Didn't he call you?
Yes, but it's all right. I waved back at him.
Well, honey, you better find out what he wants. I'll be by for you at noon, huh? We'll have lunch and then we'll go to the matinee.
Miss Peterson, how many times must I tell you that when I call you, I don't want you waving at me as if I were leaving on the Queen Mary?
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Jane. I was just talking to Jane. You know, my roommate.
Miss Peterson, I'm trying to run an office around here. A law office, understand? And I insist on having cooperation. K-O-O-P-E-R-A-S-H-U-N. Oh, good heavens, now I'm spelling it the way you do. Just get your notebook and come into my office right away.
All right. Mr. Clyde, have you noticed how much more efficient I'm getting?
Efficient? How?
Oh, you only asked me to bring my notebook, but I was the one who thought to bring a pencil, too.
Amazing. Now, listen, I'm going to dictate a letter that must be kept strictly confidential. I don't want it to get any further than this office. Understand?
Oh, you can trust me. I'll put it with all the other letters you told me should never go any further than this office.
What do you mean? Haven't you been mailing those letters?
Of course not. I hid them all under the filing cabinet.
What? Oh, no. No. Oh, no. No.
Mr. Clyde, aren't you feeling well?
Oh, no, no, no.
Well, in that case, I'll wait until tomorrow to ask you for a raise.
A raise?
Yes, I've been with you for a year, and I'm only getting $35 a week, and I don't think it's enough.
Miss Peterson, I think it's more than enough for what you do in this office.
Oh, that's because you never give me a chance. I try. I may not be the smartest girl, but I try.
I know you're convinced that I'm an utter idiot, but please, if you'll just give me a chance to prove it. let me help you. Let me do personal things for you. I'll get it, sir. Hello? Who? Hubert Tailoring? It's for you, Mr. Clyde.
Thank you, Miss Peterson. That'll be all for now.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Oh, hello, Hubert. What time will my tuxedo be ready? Not until 5. Oh, it's no good. It's extremely urgent that I get it tonight because I'm addressing the Bar Association. Can you deliver it? I can't. Oh, that's bad. Well, I'll manage to have it picked up somehow. Thank you, Hubert. Goodbye. Miss Peterson, will you come in here for a minute, please?
Yes, sir. Yes, Mr. Clyde?
Miss Peterson, you have just gotten through telling me that you'd like to do personal little things for me. Well, this is your opportunity. I know it's Saturday afternoon and you're off, but I happen to be in the spot.
Well, what is it, Mr. Clyde? I'll be happy to do anything.
Miss Peterson, please, you don't have to curtsy. Just listen. I want you to take this $135 and go over to Hubert's Tailoring on Park Avenue and pick up my suit for me.
Yes, sir.
It'll be ready at 5 o'clock. I need it to wear when I'm addressing the Bar Association tonight. Now, bring it to me at the Athletic Club. Now, have you got that straight?
Yes.
Good. What did I say?
You want me to pick you up at the Athletic Club at 5 o'clock and take you to a bar.
No. No, Miss Peterson. Just pick up my suit. Here's the money.
Oh, now I've got it straight. I'll pick up the suit at 5 o'clock and bring it to the Athletic Club.
Fine.
Mr. Clyde, do you think I'm doing doing a thing like this might help me get a raise?
We shall see. I've got to run along now. Please don't let me down, Miss Peterson. Goodbye.
You can trust me. Gee, I better count the money. 10, 20, 40, 80, 100... 135.
Hi, honey.
Oh, hello, Jane.
Hey, where'd you get all that money?
Well, I have to pick up Mr. Clyde's suit at the tailor's at 5.
Oh, gee, honey, you won't be able to go to the theater with me.
I know, Jane, but this may lead to a raise.
Yeah, that's right, honey. A job's a job.
What play are you going to see?
Streetcar Named Desire.
Well, I don't mind missing it so much. I think if you've seen one streetcar, you've seen them all.
Hello, Jane. Hiya, chicken.
Hi, Al.
Hello, Al, honey.
Just dropped by to take you out to lunch. Oh, by the way, Jane, I just remembered I owe you $2. I'd like to pay you now if you can cash my unemployment check.
Yeah. All right, Al, I'll cash it.
Here you are. It's all endorsed.
So I see. Al, what's the idea of that gold star next to your name?
Got it for never being late. Chicken, what are your plans for this afternoon?
Well, I was going to the theater with Jane, but I can't because I have to work.
On Saturday afternoon?
Yes, Al.
Well, don't worry, Chicken. Your working days are only temporary. Pretty soon, little Al will look after you.
Oh, sure. Sure, just as soon as one of his deals comes through, like painting noodles gray and selling them for rubber bands. Great provider. I'll see you tonight, Irma. Good night, Al.
You know, she's a little more snooty than usual today, Chicken. How come?
Well, she got a raise, Al, and I'm going to get one, too.
You are? What happened?
Well, Jane does personal things for Richard, and now I've got my chance to do personal things for Mr. Clyde. I'm picking up a suit for him at Hubert's Tailoring at 5 this afternoon.
Well, how'll that get you a raise?
Well, when you do little things like that for your boss, you're indispensable.
Chicken, that's the wrong approach. A messenger boy does the same thing. That man is treating you like you're nothing. Running errands will get you no place. It's the personal touch that counts.
Personal touch? Well, that's what Jane said, but that's what I'm doing.
No, no, Chicken. Knew a fella named Sam. Worked for a big corporation. Was getting nowhere. Then Sam decided to use the personal touch. And one morning, he started coming in and slapping the boss on the back. Well, gradually, the boss's back started caving in. Before you knew it, Sam was head of the company.
But, Al, this is an important errand. After all, Mr. Clyde entrusted me with $135 to pay for the suit.
Chicken, I repeat what you're doing a messenger boy could do. But we can change this entire thing into a golden opportunity for you.
How?
Have seen the type of suit your boss wears. Nothing. No class. Got it. We'll show you how to get in real good with your boss. You not only get him a better suit, but you also save him money. Then he'll know that you're not only a great secretary, but also have a shrewd mind.
But, Al, do you think I can fool him like that?
Only with my help.
What do you suggest, Al, honey?
Do not go to Hubert's. We'll spend the afternoon shopping and pick up a real bargain.
Al, the suit has to be extra special because he's going to wear it when he speaks before the Bar Association tonight.
Chicken know just what he needs for the Bar Association. No one has had as many lawyers around him as I have. Leave it to me. When I'm finished with your boss, you will be starting on a new career.
Oh, Al, you're a darling. You know, sometimes I feel so empty inside, and then you put ideas in my head, and it feels solid again.
Ladies, there's nothing quite like Swan soap for dishes. Sure, because Swan has an exclusive super creamed blend. And this blend means faster suds. Suds that rinse away so completely dishes never need drying. Super creamed blend means Swan protects your hands, too. Yes, your hands come out of the dishpan as smooth and lovely as ever. Remember, only Swan has this exclusive super creamed blend to give you speed and hand protection at the same time. And don't forget to keep listening for the names of the top winners in the second week's Lever Fur Contest.
Well, I just got home from seeing a streetcar named Desire. Since everything here looks quite normal, I know that Irma hasn't been here yet. You see, Irma uses a code to let me know what she's doing. For instance, if I come home and I find a cup of coffee and a pair of shoes on the pillow, that's let me know she couldn't sleep because she had coffee, so she's gone for a walk. Hello?
Hello. Is Irma Peterson there?
No, she's not. This is Jane Stacy, her roommate. Who's this?
This is Mr. Clyde.
Oh, yes, Mr. Clyde. What can I do for you?
Miss Stacy, do you know where Irma is?
No. The last I saw of her, she was going to pick up a suit for you.
Well, it's 5 o'clock, and I just called Hubert's, and she hasn't picked it up yet.
Oh, well, I'm quite sure she will.
Well, I hope so, because I'm in a steam bath now, and I sent my other suit of clothes to be cleaned, and I cannot address the Bar Association with the proper dignity in my shorts. You understand?
Well, Mr. Clyde, if Irma said she'd pick up your suit, her word is as good as gold. Goodbye. And this explains why they've devaluated the franc. Oh, where on earth could Irma be? Irma! Irma!
Al, it's 5 o'clock and we still don't have a suit for Mr. Clyde. Maybe we ought to pick it up at Hubert.
Chicken, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I've saved the best for the last. This is a place they tell me is real classy. Let's go in.
Yes, and what can I do for you?
We'd like to see some suits.
Certainly, for your husband?
No, my husband and I aren't married yet. I mean, this is for someone else.
All right, now. Now, what did you have in mind? Could you describe the gentleman?
Yes, he has gray hair, belongs to the Bar Association, and he's married. Do you think he ought to have pleats?
Please, chicken. Madam, let us start all over again. Can you tell me what size the gentleman wears?
Well, what size do you wear?
I'm a 38.
I'm a 12, and Mr. Clyde is built more like you. Of course, if he'd be built like me, he'd be Mrs. Clyde.
Madam, there are other customers waiting.
Chicken, let me handle it. See, I'll have to take the initiative myself. Friend, have you got a suit something like the one I've got on?
Oh, yes, I remember that particular model. It was very popular during the Charleston craze.
We'll admit it ain't society brand, yet it's in great demand with a particular set. Notice it's very snug, yet an ace will go up the sleeve without touching the lining.
Please, I wish you'd decide that. There are other customers waiting.
Wait a minute. See the one we need. That brown herringbone with the triangular checks. What are you asking for it?
$100.
What are you taking for it?
$50.
Sold for $35.
Thank you. I'll wrap it up.
Hello?
Hello, Miss Stacy. This is Mr. Clyde.
Oh, Mr. Clyde, I haven't heard from Irma, but I'm sure she'll be at the athletic club with a suit any minute now.
Miss Stacy, it may be too late. The suit probably won't fit me. I've been in the steam bath for so long, I think I've lost 20 pounds.
Oh, Mr. Clyde, please have patience. sit tight.
Sit tight? I can't. I've already been fricasseed, barbecued, and sautéed. How much steam can a man take?
Oh, well, I don't mean to be personal, Mr. Clyde, but why don't you get a massage?
I've already had three. It's not a question of keeping in trim. It's a question of getting out of here. I've got to make that speech tonight.
Yes. Well, if anything develops, I assure you that you'll be the first one we'll get in touch with.
Please hurry. I've been in this bath so long, I may do my entire speech in Turkish.
Oh, Mother. Where is that Irma? Oh, there you are, Irma. Your boss is in a steam bath at the athletic club waiting for you to bring the suit from Hubert's. You take it over there immediately.
Oh, but Jane, we bought him a different suit and saved him money. Oh, it's so cute. Here, I'll show you. I'll put on the jacket. Well, how do you like it?
Irma, I can only say one thing. You may think that's a man's jacket, but you look like you walked past the Waldorf Astoria and the canopy fell on you.
But Jane, it's herringbone.
Al, I've seen herringbone, but this is the first time I've ever seen it filleted. And for your further information, Mr. Clyde happens to be waiting for a tuxedo.
Huh?
Tuxedo? Oh, Al, then we... Oh, then he won't look right in those knickers.
Listen, if the two of you know what's good for you, you'll get on that phone and call Hubert's and grab a cab and pick up the suit that Mr. Clyde ordered.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Will do.
Oh, Irma, tell me something. How can you let Al talk you into things like this?
But I want to save Mr. Clyde money. I wanted to do personal things for him.
Honey, he wants to address the Bar Association tonight. He couldn't wear this suit on Halloween.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Al, you've said hello enough. Start talking.
Looks like we're in trouble, Chicken. There's no answer. Hubert's must be closed.
Oh, well, of course it's closed. It's after 5:30.
I'll get it. Hello?
Hello. Is this Irma Peterson?
Yes.
This is Mr. Clyde.
I'm sorry. This phone is temporarily out of order. I'll report it. Goodbye.
Oh, no. Irma, now you're through and you'll lose your job.
But, Jane, we're only trying to save him money.
Sweetie, if you don't get him his suit or a reasonable facsimile, you'll be in real trouble. Now, let's think.
But all the stores are closed.
I know.
Chicken, when you're under pressure like this, there's only one man who can help us.
Oh, Al, that's ridiculous.
Who, Al?
Who else but... Hello, Joe. Al, got a problem. Must have a tuxedo. What do you mean it's easy? Don't you know all the stores are closed? Oh, with you, that's no problem.
Now, hold it, Al. You're not stealing a tuxedo.
Just feeling the man out. Look, Joe, must have a tuxedo, if only for tonight. Do you have one? Oh, you loaned yours to Honest Louis. Yeah, but I thought... Oh, no, Joe, we can't dig him up just for that.
Al, will you quit talking to Joe? Let's rent a tux, huh?
Thanks, Joe, but must check other angles. So long.
Oh, dear. Now, let me think. Where can we get a tuxedo at this time of night? Irma, I just can't understand you.
Now, don't pick on me, Jane. I admit I'm not perfect.
Oh, honey, when you say you're not perfect, it's like Jesse James admitting he's not a choir boy. Oh, Irma, that poor man is waiting. Your job is right out of the window if we don't get him a tuxedo.
Come in.
It's only me, Professor Kropotkin. Hello, Janie and Irma, my two little daffodils. One a little dilly, one a little daffy.
Professor, you're wearing a tuxedo.
Certainly. On Saturday nights at the Gypsy Tea Room, it's strictly formal. We even leave the tails on the fish. Why do you ask?
Well, I was supposed to pick up a tuxedo for my boss, and there was a little mistake, and the place is closed, and I may lose my job.
Got an idea. Professor, could you loan us your tux just for tonight? It'll sure help Chicken.
Oh, Al, we can't ask the professor for his tuxedo. He needs it for his work.
No, please, Jenny. I'm the better judge of that. If my little Irma's in trouble, I must help her. So if it helps Irma, she can have the tuxedo. So I don't go to work tonight. After all, money isn't everything. What kind of a stupid saying is that?
Yeah, but your job, Professor...
Oh, who cares? After all, am I indispensable? So someone else will read fortunes. Someone else will wash dishes. Someone else will wait on tables. Someone else will play the violin. Someone else will wash the floor. Someone else... You know something? I'll be glad for the vacation. I've been working too hard.
Gee, that's just wonderful of you, Professor. It may save Irma's job.
Gee, Professor, I sure appreciate it.
Anything for you, my darling. Al, come upstairs. If you'll excuse the expression, to my room. I'll take the tuxedo off, and you can take it to Irma's boss.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. The professor's a much thinner man than Mr. Clyde.
Not anymore. Mr. Clyde's been in that steam room too long. Well, Irma and I had dinner, and we washed the dishes. I tried to explain to her that she shouldn't go to the movies with Al and be completely at ease because I have a feeling that her career at Milton J. Clyde's office is near an end. After all, even if the professor's tuxedo saved the night, Irma will be a dead pigeon on the following day. So I tactfully suggested that Irma resign before she's fired. So now she's writing her letter of resignation.
Jane, how does this sound? Dear Mr. Clyde, inasmuch as I don't expect to be with you much longer because we don't see eye to eye, I would like to ask a favor of you. If anyone ever asks for a reference on me, please remember you're describing a lady and don't say anything. Regards, your ex-secretary, Irma Peterson.
Come in.
Good evening, Miss Peterson. I was in the neighborhood, so I decided to drop in and tell you something.
Now, just a minute, Mr. Clyde. There's no need to be sarcastic. Irma's realized her mistake, and she's ready to resign, and I won't let you abuse her.
Abuse her? I've come here to give her a raise.
A raise? What do you mean?
That tuxedo you gave me. I was making my speech before the Bar Association, and it was getting duller by the minute. They were all falling asleep on me. I was mortified. Suddenly, I raised my hand to make an emphatic gesture, and the shirt front lit up and said, "Fortune's red, 50 cents. Well, from then on, I was the hit of the party. And believe me, any secretary who can anticipate her boss's predicaments is certainly worth more than $35 a week.
Oh, Mr. Clyde, do you mean you're going to give me a raise?
Yes. What do you think you're worth?
Well, I'm getting $35 a week now. I think I'm at least worth $100 a month.
Oh, Mother.
Folks, later I'll give you the names of the top winners in the second week of the $100,000 Lever Fur Contest. But first, listen. This may be your last chance to win a beautiful mink coat. This is the last week of these exciting contests. You have only until March 14th to get your last entries in the mail. So hurry. Here's all you do. In 25 words or less, tell why you like any one of these six Lever products. Lux Flakes, Lux Toilet Soap, Lifebuoy, Rinso, Spry, or Swan Soap. Enclose a wrapper or box top from one of these with your entry. Remember, the contest is subject to rules on the entry blank at your dealer's. There are still 329 prizes. Yes, wonderful prizes like these.
One $3,000 mink coat. Three $1,000 fur coats. Five fur jackets, each worth $500. As well as 320 other prizes of valuable furs and cash.
But now, here they are, top winners in the second week's Lever Fur Contest. First prize, Mrs. Scott J. Hinch, 534 Riverside Drive, Piqua, Ohio. You win a gorgeous $3,000 mink coat or the cash. Congratulations, Mrs. Hinch. And here are the names of the second prize winners. You each win a beautiful $1,000 fur coat or the cash. Mrs. Clarence Egan, 2610 First Avenue, North Leeds, Alabama. Mrs. Helen Walker Lyman, 8809 Southwest Bertha Beaverton Highway, Beaverton, Oregon. Mrs. George Meslins, 7364 Maryland Avenue, University City 5, Missouri. Congratulations to you all. The other 325 winners of valuable furs and cash will be notified by mail. And remember, folks, it's not too late to enter. You may be wearing a luxurious $3,000 mink coat. So send your entry right away to Lever Fur Contest, Box 1, New York City. That's Lever Fur Contest, Box 1, New York City.
Thank you.
Despite the fact that Irma's in good again with her boss, I warned her never to pry into his personal life again. This time, she's taking my advice seriously. In fact, the other day, Mr. Clyde tripped and knocked himself unconscious. And I said, well, honey, why didn't you throw water on him? And Irma said,
well, if buying a suit is too personal, certainly giving him a bath is worse.
And you know, when you get an answer that's all wet like that one, it's bound to come from my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma, presented by Swan, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company, was produced and directed by Cy Howard. Tonight's script was written by Cy Howard and Park Levy. Folks, next Monday evening, listen again to
our friend Swan
with my friend Irma.
My Friend Irma stars Marie Wilson as Irma and Kathy Lewis as Jane. The part of Professor Kropotkin was played by Hans Conried. Frank Bingman speaking.
Spry.
Cakes are light and high.
Spry.
There's a reason why.
Spry.
Cakes improve with Spry.
Rely on Spry.
Yes, there's a reason why Spry is the cake-making wonder. Spry has an amazing cake improver secret. Try the Spry One Bowl way and be certain of lighter, finer, richer cakes every time. No other type of shortening has Spry's Cake Improver. For new cake-making success, rely on Spry, the pure all-vegetable shortening.
Rely on Spry, S-P-R-Y. Rely on Spry, S-P-R-Y.
Tune in next week 1 hour earlier and listen to the Lux Radio Theater, immediately followed by My Friend Irma. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, guys, that does it for Miss Mary Wilson and Miss Kathy Lewis in the CBS comedy show My Friend Irma. If you like the show, please comment and subscribe, guys. And please share and like this show with your family and friends. Please join me tonight, guys, as I bring Miss Lucille Ball to the show to reenact a couple of her suspense programs. And then join me this coming Tuesday night as I bring to the show Miss Joan Crawford and Miss Betty Davis in The Feud Part 2. And then join me next Friday as I bring back to the show Miss Alice Faye and Mr. Phil Harris in The Alice Faye and Phil Harris Show. Then join me the week after next as we wrap up Women's Month with the Queen of Thriller herself, Miss Agnes Moorehead, and the Queen of Comedy herself, Miss Lucille Ball, and Mr. Richard Denning in the CBS comedy show My Friend, My Favorite Husband. And stay tuned for the coming weeks, guys, as I bring such stars as Judy Garland, Abbott and Costello, Margaret O'Brien, and many others. And once again, guys, I want to thank everyone who has listened and subscribed to my podcast since day one. I really do appreciate it, guys. Hope you guys have a wonderful and very happy and safe St. Patrick's Day. And always remember, guys, to enjoy the show. Thanks.